Hi, everybody. Welcome to our nice, intimate session. Today, we're going to cover the entire EOP filtering pipeline. So we're going to take you through everything from spam, bulk, fish, spoof, through the anti-malware solutions and ATP. It'll be similar to some of you who are at my other sessions. Let me introduce myself. My name is Jason Rogers. I'm the lead PM for Core Anti-Malware Solutions and Advanced Threat Protection O365. And I'm here with Isabella, who's going to take you through the spam side first.
Hi, everyone. I'm Isabella Lubin. I'm a program manager in Office 365 Information Protection with Jason. Really excited to be here to talk to you about our full spam, fish, spoof, and malware filtering solutions. First, I want to scare you a little bit. So let's talk about the email threats. If you were in my theater session, I ask that you not spoil the question that I'm about to ask. You get a prize for answering this correctly. So Office 365 received 80 billion inbound messages in 1 month. False. Does anyone have a guess about how much of that was actually core business email? I was going to call on one person, but thank you all for answering. Anyone? OK, you right there. So the answer is actually 31%. So only 31% of the email that we saw in Office 365 inbound was actually core business email. So, you know, what was all the rest of that? Well, 55 billion of that were spam and bulk emails. So those are emails that are going to distract your end users if they were delivered into the inbox. They're going to mean that your users can't be as productive. Another fact, malware increased 600% in 1 year. So the amount of malware that we saw being targeted at Office 365 users went up 600%. So those types of threats really pose a huge risk to your users' productivity and to their security. And Office 365 has developed a pipeline that has layers upon layers to address different types of attacks that are targeting your users. And so the first area of protection that we have is we try to reject messages as early as possible. And the goal there is that, you know, if we've identified that something is spam and we can identify it early on, we want to make sure that your users are never even seeing it because we don't want them to get distracted by having to go to their junk mail folder or have it go to their inbox. It's also a little bit cheaper for us. Our next strategy is around blocking. We want to try to block medium and large volume campaigns. Those are larger campaigns that tend to cluster very well, and so we can look at information in aggregate. We try to block smaller campaigns, so these tend to be a little bit more targeted. We have a suite of features that try to target those types of campaigns. And then we have a whole suite of features around catching dangerous fish and malware messages. You know, and we'll talk about a number of those features a little bit later on, and we'll actually see some demos of how those work. We try to protect the tenants or the users who we see as outliers. So we look at which mailboxes or, you know, which organizations are more targeted than others. We try to develop a suite of features around making sure that those people who are being more targeted for one reason or another actually get, you know, protection against those targeted campaigns. And then finally, we try to make sure that we can react quickly. So if for some reason a campaign makes it through, we want to make sure that we can actually put in place solutions that will help us stop that campaign as quickly as possible. So just to walk you through some of the features that we have in these areas, and, you know, just to call out the coloring, orange is live now, blue is future, so when you see a feature that's colored blue and orange, it means that we're in progress, and then yellow is the E5 or standalone features within ATP. So the first set of features, rejecting early, we use sender, URL reputation to reject spam messages as early as possible. We also do newsletter and bulk detection in aggregate. Content clustering around blocking medium and large spam campaigns. We have global machine learning models that use content reputation, communication, user preferences to help us block some of those more targeted campaigns. We have a whole suite of features around malware protection, and Jason's going to talk about that a little bit later on. We also have fish protection, and I'll be doing a demo of our anti-spoofing detection. We have tenant-specific machine learning models, and then we try to react quickly using analyst rules, and a feature called zero-hour auto purge that I'll talk about just shortly. So let's talk about spam. Just as we said that malware has been increasing 600% over the past year, the amount of spam that we see being targeted at Office 365 customers has also gone up more than twofold. If we're doing our jobs right, you're not going to see a lot of the features that we roll out for spam protection, because those mean that we're staying ahead of the attackers. But I do actually want to call out one feature that we announced in the past year called zero-hour auto purge. This is a feature that we can only do for mailboxes that are hosted in Office 365. And we can perform it because we can access the mailbox. So zero-hour auto purge allows us to move a message from the inbox to the junk mail folder if we've detected after delivery that that was actually a spam mail. It's a very powerful feature. It's on by default for all users, but as administrators of an organization, you can disable that feature if you find that it's not something that you want to see because you don't want your users to see that experience. So that's what I want to touch on for spam protection. Let's start talking about phish. So phishing relies on various forms of deception to get the recipient of a message to take some action that's really not to their benefit. And when we think about phish, we think of it on a spectrum. So we think about these more widespread generic attacks where there's value in aggregating signals across Office 365. And then we think about more targeted, customized, very sophisticated attacks that have high impact to the recipient, but where we're not really going to see a lot of aggregation there. So I'm going to walk you really quickly through four different types of phish, and then we're going to double click on one of them in particular. So the first type of phish that we talk about is scams. These are things like, I just inherited a huge volume of money, send me your bank information and I'm going to wire you a ton right now. Okay? So as an example here, right, you know, I just discovered some information about lottery. If you receive this email, you're about to make a ton of money, so send me some information. I think you're all pretty familiar with this type of attack. This is a very non-specialized attack. It generally goes out in large volume to a lot of users. There's no real target in a particular organization or in a particular user. And then we think about brand spoofing. So brand spoofing is mimicking a commonly known brand to try to get the user to fall for the message. So as an example, someone could send an email pretending to be Apple and tell you, okay, you've got to go click on this account. You've got to go reset your account password or something like that. And these types of attacks often contain a malicious link or sometimes a malicious attachment. And then we start looking at some of the more targeted campaigns. So an example of that would be IT phishing. And some of you who work in the EDU space might be a little bit familiar with this. Someone pretends to be the help desk for your organization and says, hey, all of you users, you need to reset your password right now. Just click this link. It's obviously not coming from the IT help desk. These tend to be more targeted in the sense that it's actually going to a particular organization and a number of users within that organization. And again, there's high impact for the organization because they're seeing a high volume of those mails. The last type of mail that I want to talk about is spear phishing. For example, Satya clearly did not send this message to me asking if I knew anything about, if I could send him the final fiscal numbers. So spear phishing is when a spammer uses social engineering to send a very targeted message to someone who is in a position of power or who has certain authorizations that mean that they can take an action that would have adverse risk for that organization. And what I want to talk about is what Office 365 has been doing in the space of all. What I want to talk about is the solutions that Office 365 has developed that follow that same spectrum we talked about more broad attacks versus those that are more targeted. So in the area of these broader attacks, we can use clustering, we can use machine learning models that rely on the aggregation of a lot of different signals we have from different organizations on our service. We also have client UX, which is meant to inform end users about why their mails are being filtered the way they're filtered. This feature is actually very valuable, and we'll look at it in conjunction with another feature that I'm going to demo. And then on the more targeted side of solution, we have anti-spoofing protection, and we have advanced threat protection that Jason is going to talk about a little bit later. As I said, Some of these types of attacks, like brand spoofing or IT phishing, rely on using malicious links or attachments as their payload. And so advanced threat protection helps protect users against both those, you know, both the phishing emails themselves and also the adverse action that the sender is trying to get the user to take. So let's talk a little bit about our anti-spoofing protection. Spoofing is when someone sends a message pretending to be someone else. SMTP protocol allows this to happen. And it allows to happen because you've probably all seen these scenarios where a CEO wants to send a message and the message needs to come from a third-party marketing provider, right? Well, that message is a legitimate message. The person who's being spoofed does actually want the message to go out. But spoofing can often also be used by phishers to get someone to believe that they're someone that they're not. Office 365 anti-spoofing protection is meant to detect the difference between those legitimate cases of spoof from the illegitimate ones. And we want to do that even when the person who is being spoofed hasn't actually set up the proper authentication. So we're trying to detect differences or anomalies in mail behavior so that we can differentiate between those good spoofs and those bad ones. So what I'm going to demo right now is both anti-spoofing protection and how we tell end users that messages could be malicious, and that's a feature that we call safety tips. We did hit the button to switch, so.
There you are.
So what I've crafted right here is a message pretending to be Satya. Let me all reassure you, I'm not Satya. So I'm going to send a message pretending to be Satya to me and say, hey, you know, I need some financial information from you. Can you send it right away? And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at how that message gets delivered and then what the end user experiences when they actually look at that message. Okay, so I've just sent the message. And this is really my mailbox. So what you can see here is this, I'm in my junk email folder. You can see that the message went to junk because Satya did not actually send it. And that furthermore, we pasted this large red safety tip that says, hey, this sender, you know, he's not actually who he says he is. Be very cautious. And that's a really valuable feature because we actually do see that even when we filter a message correctly, that is, even when we detect that a message really is fish and we send it to junk, we see that sometimes end users reply to those messages outside of their junk mail folder. And that even actually sometimes they open support tickets and report those as false positives. And so we want to make sure that the users really understand why messages are being filtered the way they're filtered so that they can be more cautious. Can we block? We block as much mail as possible so that it doesn't even go to junk. But in certain scenarios, we can't figure it out until later on. Sorry, what? Yes, it does. But we'll take questions at the end. Okay. Can you remind
me? Back to the deck.
Yes, please. So what we just saw was anti-spoofing protection in action, and we also saw this feature called safety tips. We can use safety tips in a number of different ways. So we just saw an example of notifying the end user that a message is malicious. But we use different color of safety tips to give end users different notifications, and we'll be rolling out additional notifications throughout the time period. So, you know, we saw a red safety tip, which tells the end user, hey, something's malicious, something's suspicious, watch out here. We could also use a yellow safety tip to tell a user that a message was marked as spam, but we don't actually think it's malicious. We just, you know, don't think that you should read it. A green safety tip tells the recipient that the message was marked as was from a traced sender and the message was marked as safe. And then a gray safety tip we can use to notify an end user if a message bypassed filtering because of one of their settings or one of their organization's settings. And so that helps inform the end user that, you know, this message didn't actually pass through spam filtering, so take that with a grain of salt. So what we've just looked at is we've looked at a new feature for spam protection called zero-hour auto-purge. This feature can also be used for malware and phish protection because, again, when we detect that a malware or phish message is malicious after the fact, we can also move those to junk mail folder. And then we saw a demo of anti-spoofing protection and safety tips in action. So I'm going to hand it over to Jason, who's going to cover anti-malware protection as well as advanced threat protection.
Thank you, Isabella. So I don't have to tell most of you that it is a dangerous, dangerous world out there. As Isabella said, malware volumes are going up dramatically, 600% year over year. But it's not just volume. Each individual malware that we've been receiving is getting nastier and nastier. They're almost always Trojans that have some sort of secondary payload that's much worse. So they've gotten a lot better at getting through our traditional filtering systems. So we've added a bunch of layers to help protect you guys. It's not just the individual malware messages, it's also the campaigns themselves. So a lot of times you can detect malicious content just based on delivery heuristics. But what they do now is send out multiple variants of the same virus at the same time. So you get highly morphed campaigns. And they use obfuscation techniques within the macros and evasion techniques to get around standard AV scanners. So this shows an actual Locky campaign that hit O365, and each one of those different colors is a different variant of malware. And this is actually a fairly mild case. We see a bunch where you'll have 10 or 15 different variants coming out simultaneously and thousands of different variants over the life of the campaign. So this is our full anti-malware stack that we use to protect you from malicious content. Now, everything that you see that's in red is what's included with a standard EOP subscription. The things in blue, ATP safe attachments and ATP safe links, you get with an ATP subscription, or it comes built into an E5 subscription. So ATP safe attachments, and I'll get into this a little bit more later, but that's our sandboxing environment, where we take every attachment that you receive and open it up in a hypervisor environment to try to catch unknown, new, and evolving malware. And ATP safe links is our time of click protection, where we wrap URLs and check their reputation at time of click. But I'll get into those more later. So when your mail comes from the internet, the first thing that happens is it hits the O365 edge. And so before we even let it into the service, we inspect information about the recipient and about the sender, and just looking at reputation sources that we have internally and external reputation sources that we use, we can reject an awful lot of malicious mail. And once you get past the edge, then we do traditional AV scans. Now, I just told you that traditional AV scanning is only so good, but it does wipe out almost 80% of commodity malware that hits our service. So the mail comes in, we do traditional AV scanning on it, but also as part of that AV scanning layer, we've got type blocking. And so you can set this up to, my clicker will work, to block every executable or every batch file or every JavaScript file that comes in. And the feature is set up so we've got I think 10-ish really common types that when you turn it on that are selected by default. There's like 90 pre-canned types that you can choose from. If you want to do something that's completely off the wall, you can do that using PowerShell. So next, we go to our reputation block. And here, we actually look at the attachment reputation of every single email that we've scanned in O365. So we store all that reputation for across all of our tenants. And if we've had the same file sandboxed, or even if we see part of the same file sandbox. So we're picking up some of those variations in our reputation as well. Then we're able to block those mails for you just based on our previous experience. Then we have our heuristic clustering. Now, in real time, while the mail is coming through, we can detect malicious content fairly accurately just based on delivery patterns. So it depends on specifically on the type of file and whether it's a commonly malicious file or not, but often we can be like 90% confident that a specific attachment is malicious just based on the delivery patterns. So we take this heuristic machine learning model and apply it to the entire O365 email stream. And when we detect that specific files contain similar attachments and the delivery pattern suggests that it's malicious, then we actually take that file and send it to our sandboxing environment. This is the exact same sandboxing environment that we use for safe attachments. So within this environment, we've got multiple hypervisors that get spun up for each attachment that we send in. And those hypervisors are specially instrumented to record what happens within them. So the idea is, even if we've never seen the attachment, even if nobody that any researcher has ever seen the attachment, there are no AV signatures for the attachment, we can still detect the malicious behavior that happens. So you remember I told you earlier that most of what we see right now are Trojans that are actually downloading some secondary content. In here, we actually download that secondary content. We see what C2 servers they connect to. We see what that secondary content is that gets downloaded and what happens. We look for attempts to persist itself. We look at whether it's making changes to the registry. And by monitoring the behavior in those hypervisors themselves, we can detect never before seen malicious content. Now, people do try to detect if they're inside of a virtual environment and not do something malicious. But that's actually a really great flag for us. We use that to detect that it's suspicious. So let me give you a couple of examples. One thing that's actually really interesting, they'll do geo lookups on the IP address of the machine and then actually map that to the physical address of data centers for security vendors. That's one of my favorite ones. Or they'll look to see that the flag is set indicating that the Word doc was actually downloaded from the internet. So if you pass it into a virtual environment, that flag doesn't get set. But these are because, not only is it our guys that are building the sandbox, but it's also our guys who built the hypervisor, and it's our guys who built Windows. So we're really good at detecting all of those things, and they're really great indicators that something malicious is going on. So now, if you are an ATP customer, if you've got the ATP add-on, or if you've got an E5 subscription, we're gonna take every single one of your attachments, whether we think they're suspicious or not, whether or not they hit any of those heuristic ML models, and we're gonna detonate all of them in the sandbox environment. So here, and I've included this is a lot of what Isabella already covered, but we do actually detect a significant amount of malware based on body characteristics and URL characteristics in the email. Now, once again, for those who have ATP, who have a SafeLinks policy turned on, in the body of the email, if we see any URLs, we wrap them in our SafeLinks. And what that does is when the user actually goes and clicks on the link, they're actually redirected to our SafeLinks server. Now, we check the absolute latest at time of click reputation for that URL, and only then do we redirect them to the target server if we find out that it's clean. So what this means is, something that's popular for bad guys to do. they'll actually go and they'll send an email that's got a link in it, and that link will point to good content. 10 minutes after the mail goes through the delivery pipeline, they switch the link to point to the bad content. Then we get updated reputation about that link, but it's too late because the email's already been delivered. But now we can get that latest absolute reputation at the time that the user clicks on the link, whether it's 20 minutes later or 2 years later, whether they forwarded the mail, doesn't matter. They'll still get that absolute last second reputation. So Isabelle already talked about this, but once the mail has been delivered into the mailbox, sometimes we find out that it was really a bad mail. And so that could be because finally we got far enough along in the attack that one of those heuristics models kicked in. That could be for some reason we got updated detonation results. But that's where Zap comes in. Because we own the mailbox for hosted mailboxes and we have access to those mailboxes, we can go in and actually yank that bad content right back out again. So really, for anti-malware, what we have is a defense in depth play. Every email has to go through our anti-malware pipeline, and this is really what a traditional anti-malware pipeline looked like. You've got some traditional signature-based AV engines. It's gonna catch some mail and some's gonna go right through. But we've added a bunch of additional layers over the last year that makes it infinitely harder for a bad guy to get mail through our pipeline. And all the time, we're strengthening each one of those layers with new pieces of technology, and we're adding entirely new layers as well. Every solution from every vendor is going to have some false positives and some false negatives. And a lot of that is just how we tune. You have to try to tune for catching as much as you can without catching good things. But a lot of times, good things still look suspicious, and so we might catch some. Those are false positives. And occasionally, some things that are bad, very clever, and they get through. So we're always working to reduce the number of false negatives and false positives in each layer of this pipeline. But we know that you're still going to get them, and so we're adding technologies to make it easier for you to manage false positives and false negatives when we get them. So the first is giving you the ability within your organization to control reputation for URLs or for files. So if you find a URL that's bad, that we missed, and you've got safe links, you can set reputation for your organization immediately without having to reach out through us through a submission, and you can immediately start blocking those links for mail that's already been delivered within your organization. So this is something that we're working on now. We're also working on a malware quarantine. So if we block a mail because it's malware, you'll be able to go and actually release it to the user if we made a mistake and it's really false positive, or you'll be able to release it to yourself and do additional investigation. And then we're also building a new submission experience that's just for O365. So you'll be able to submit files, submit emails, submit URLs, tell us if it's a false negative or a false positive. And so we'll be able to update the broader system, but we'll also be able to give you feedback on the status of your submission, which right now is involves a support call. So with all those solutions, even though we are still going to have some false negatives and some false positives, we're going to make them a lot easier for you to manage. Now, I want to talk a little bit about third-party solutions. I know that there are a bunch of guys out there that have bolt-on solutions that sit in front of O365. I'm sure if you're exploring ATP, you're probably talking to them as well. So just some tips as you do that. I believe that we have best-in-class malware filtering across EOP and across ATP. Because it's built in, because it all works together, I think that we are the most effective solution. So I tested that theory. I went out and looked at 192 tenants who have a third-party solution. This is actually all one third-party solution bolted on in front of O365. And I looked at what did we catch in O365 after that filtering. So over the last 90 days, there were 3.5 million messages that we caught in O365 that were missed by those other solutions. And that's because we've got this pipeline that's able to work together from end to end. ATP is built into EOP. So I can't stress enough, setup is super easy. And actually, I'm gonna pause on this slide for a second. I decided about 5 minutes before this presentation that I was gonna show you this time that setup is actually easy. So we're gonna go over and I'm gonna try to set up ATP on a tenant. This is just an E5 trial tenant that I provisioned earlier today, if I can get logged in. And so the claim that I made there is that setup can happen in less than 1 minute. Please don't time me, because I'd like to explain to you what I'm doing while I do it. But I think you'll see that it's gonna be awfully darn close to that. So we're in the Exchange Admin Console. You can see the advanced threats section. All you need to do is configure a safe attachments policy and a safe links policy for your tenant and your goal. So we'll do safe attachments first. You just name it, and now we'll choose what action we want to take in the event that we detect something's bad. I'm a big fan of replace. That way your end user is still gonna get the body of the email and they'll know that somebody tried to send them something. This allows you to redirect a copy of anything we catch to your admin mailbox, which also I absolutely recommend doing. That way you can, not only do you see what's getting caught, but you can do additional investigation if you want to. There's a checkbox here to say, hey, if we time out, if we error, if we have a problem, do you want us to treat that message as malicious? Typically, I would say don't do this unless you feel like you really want to be, you know, extra layers of protection. And then you scope the policy. And so if you want to do your entire org, do it by domain. You can control A if you have a bunch of domains, select all, hit OK, and now you've got safe attachments. That's it. That's the entire configuration. It could not possibly be easier. Safe links, actually it could be easier, it's safe links. Turn it on. And you do have to scope. Once again, we'll just scope to domain. And let me talk a little bit about these other options, but at that point, you're done. You've configured safe links. So there are two additional options. There's one to do not track user clicks. We have a feature called URL trace where once a user clicks on one of our safe links, it actually logs it. And so you can see who's clicking on what if we block the link. And then there's also an option to say whether or not you want the click-through link to appear on the block page. So when we'll see a block page a little bit later, but the block page actually has a link on the bottom saying, I'm gonna ignore your suggestion, go ahead and continue on to the page, you know, which is great in case we do have a false positive, but it's admin configurable for you. If you think your organization can handle that, or if you wanna do hard blocks and everything, you can do that as well. And that's it. I don't know if I got it in less than a minute, but it was awfully darn close. Can you flip back? So the other thing is, you know, right now, as it stands today, ATP is for email. It's protection for email, but we're changing that. We're expanding ATP into other workloads and into clients to give you protection all across O365. And I firmly believe that Microsoft is uniquely positioned to respond to today's threat environment. And that's because, like I was talking about earlier, we have the Windows team, we have the hypervisor team, we have the guys who built the sandbox, we have guys who build the AV engines, we have the security researchers that are building the signatures. We also leverage the teams that just do, you know, straight malware research. We leverage the red teams that test how Microsoft protects itself. We leverage the teams that actually protect Microsoft. So we use all of this knowledge to build you solutions that are going to be able to respond to new and evolving threats quickly. So I'd like to show you a couple of new things that we're working on in ATP. The first one is a feature called dynamic email delivery, and that's a new feature for safe attachments. And then we've got linked content detonation, which is really a combination of safe links and safe attachments working together. So I have an email here that was that's got an attachment on it that I'm going to send. After I add a subject, I'll send. So what's going on now? Normally when you sandbox an email, it's going to take some time. You're going to see latency. It's going to be 3 to, say, 6 minutes, depending on the attachment. But, you know, that can be a hardship on your end users. They're on the phone with somebody, they send them an attachment in an email, and they have to sit there and wait for 5 minutes for the email to come through. So what we've done is we've made it so you can send the email and they receive it immediately. And in the background, we're actually completing the detonation on that email. We're doing the sandboxing of it. Let me jump down to my other mailbox here. And so you can see you can still look at all the important information, the body of the email. There's a notification up here saying, hey, we're taking some time to make sure that your attachments are safe. Tells you what the attachment is, gives you the status of the ATP scan. And then once this is done, the attachments are just going to magically reappear in this email. And once again, that's because you're using a hosted mailbox. We have access to the mailbox. Only we can reach in and do this. So the mail will flip from, well, I guess I'm still on unread, but if the mail was set to flagged as if it was read, once those attachments come back in, like I said, the ATP scan process will go away, the attachments will magically appear, the mail will flip back to unread. And if something happens and the attachments turn out to be bad and the mail is going to get blocked, this status will update to show that that the mail's been blocked because of an ATP detonation. So next, I'm going to show you linked content detonation. When you send an email that has a link in it that points to content that if it were attached to the email, we would want to scan in Safe Attachments, we'll actually be able to download that content and run it through Safe Attachments just as if it were attached to the email. So let me go ahead and send this mail. So what's going on now is in the background, we've downloaded that attachment, and Safe Attachments is in the process of doing the sandbox detonation of those attachments. And if I click on the link, the user experience is that they're taken to a block page saying, hey, we're still in the process of scanning your content. Give us a few minutes, we'll finish. But once again, admin configurable, if you want to, you can click right through. So if it's trusted, if you're comfortable with it, you can continue downloading the content immediately with no delay. And then if you click on a link that's malicious, you get the same block screen that you would for any other bad URL in SafeLinks. And this feature is fully integrated into SafeLinks. So URL trace, it'll show up there in your reporting. It'll show up just like you clicked on a normal link. Okay, let me jump back. Thank you. So like I said, we're in the process of expanding ATP throughout O365. So right now, we just have coverage for mail, but we're going to be adding other O365 properties, including SharePoint, Skype for Business, and Yammer in the future. And we're also putting SafeLinks into Office clients. So you'll see it pop up in PowerPoint, Excel, and Word, and a little bit later, Outlook. I'm going to show you the first look right now at both of those experiences. So this is a SharePoint site, and earlier today, I took an actual piece of never-before-seen malware. I actually tweaked a before-seen malware, but looks like a never-before-seen piece of malware, and I uploaded it to the SharePoint site. Now, ATP has, in the background, been crawling this site and detonating all of the content. So when it finds something that's malicious, if I can refresh the site here, which it looks like I can't. When it finds something malicious, so for me, because I'm the one who uploaded the content, it'll actually just flip that icon next to brand new malware to show that the content is malicious. If it's another user, if you don't own the content, if it's just somebody else looking at that library, then they won't see the file at all. So even if it's something that we have no AV signatures for, Safe Attachments is still gonna be able to catch it. And now here I am inside of Word. So I don't know, who here is using ATP right now who has SafeLinks? Looks like we've got a few people out there. So the way that SafeLinks works, when you look at a link inside of an email, it's actually wrapped inside of our link. So it changes the format of the link a little bit. Normally, if you've got an HTML mail, it's pretty seamless, but sometimes plain text mails, it can explode. But we really didn't want to have that kind of experience inside of Word, inside of PowerPoint, inside of Excel. So you can see here, if I look at these links, they're just normal links. This is completely transparent to the person reading the document, completely transparent to the person who's creating the document. However, when you click on a link that's bad, you get that same block page. So we actually, when they click on the link, we seamlessly go out and get a SafeLink copy of that link, and we use that when they go to the browser. So you can see up here in the browser, the actual link is the SafeLink that we've gone to, and it'll block that page. And once again, you can admin configurable. It's your same policy that you've got for SafeLinks. You can decide, do we want to continue the website or not? It gets logged inside of URL trace, just like SafeLinks does everywhere. Okay, let's jump back. So that's everything we've got for you today. So we walked you through, hopefully gave you a taste of what the threat landscape is like out there, and we walked you through the entire EOP stack for filtering all that bad content end to end. These sessions are the sessions that we've done about EOP and ATP and IP in general. This is actually the last session that we're going to have about any of these topics, but I know that recordings from all these are going to be available, so if you're interested and you want to check out more detail about a specific part of the pipeline, check it out. I see people reaching for their phones. I'll give you a second. People are still snapping pictures. I don't understand. Why is everyone taking pictures of that and not of me? Okay. So that's all we've got today. Please go ahead and evaluate us, but we're going to be here for questions. So you can either come up or shout them out if you've got any questions now. Yes, absolutely. So I'm not sure. I've heard this a lot over this week at Ignite, and I'm not exactly sure why, but yeah, it's not just E5. You can get an ATP add-on SKU for any O365 SKU. It's not just E3 either. You can have, you know, completely on-premise filtering with no hosted mailbox. You can still have ATP.
Right. I'm in the progress of getting to Office 365. I'm come from another vendor, so my first question is EOP, what do I do? I used to tweak all those spam filters point by point, but I mean, you really just turn them on. There's no really ongoing maintenance. It's just happens.
You're asked, can you all hear me still?
Yeah.
I turned off so you couldn't hear me rustling during Jason. Yeah, you should just be able to turn it on and see what happens. Now, there are a number of advanced spam filtering options. If for your organization you have particular needs or types of mails that you want to filter out, but turn it on with the default settings, make sure that that's working for you, and if it isn't, then you start tweaking.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
So I have a question about the malicious URL database. Is that extensible to other things, like an on-premise web filtering application, for instance?
So the scenario would be you've got some sort of,
want to use it as a blacklist, say.
You want to get that data from us, or you want to provide us data?
No, maybe both.
So we currently don't provide just that, those reputation sources as a feed. We don't do that. It's an interesting idea, though. But through that tenant allow block, you could influence what we do for SafeLinks when that feature lands.
Right.
I just wanted to call it really quickly. This is the last session, as Jason said. So hit us with everything you've got while we're still here.
Okay, so this one is related to the ATP licensing. You mentioned that it's only available for E5, right?
No, opposite. It's so you can get ATP with any SKU at all. Oh. So no matter what you've got, if you've got E1, if you've got E3, doesn't matter. You can get ATP as an add-on.
So you can get it as a standalone offering that you add on to your tenant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I was just wondering because we have a mixed environment, like E5, E3 is a new one license. So
yeah.
I was wondering if everybody will be able to.
So you can, your E5 comes with it, and then for the E3s, you can just get the add-on SKU to cover your E3s.
And so what if we don't get the extra SKU for the other modules of licenses?
So configuration of what gets covered and what doesn't is entirely controlled by the policy, but in order to prevent abuse, we've got throttling built in. So if you had a couple of E5 licenses, 10,000 E3 seats, and you ran ATP for the entire organization, you'd hit those throttling limits. So it's important to have, and this is critical too, if you're trialing ATP, and you want to trial it for your entire organization, make sure your account manager extends the trial to actually have the number of seats. I know we've had some people who've tried to trial, a 10,000 seat organization off a 25 seat trial, and it's a horrible experience because we'll start throttling you.
Thank you.
Yep.
So in that same vein, I've got a customer that's got E5 for their knowledge workers, and then they've got a bunch of K1 for their stores.
Yep.
The stores outnumber the knowledge workers, 4-1.
Yeah.
And the licensing question, I guess, the pricing for K1 is roughly equivalent, for the entire Office 365 suite to what an ATP add-on is.
Yep.
Which they're like, why would I pay? I'm paying $1 a user a month for a K1 SKU. Now I've got to pay double just for ATP because the rest of my work has ATP. So I realize that's not your, you guys don't handle pricing, but it's an issue.
Let me address that. I mean, if I could, would I give ATP away for free? Absolutely, across every SKU. I love it.
Yeah. He didn't say he was going. He said.
But.
People in the front row will have a heart attack. So.
Because it costs so much in hardware to spin up these hypervisor environments for every single attachment, the only way that we could subsidize it to make it work, to get the project going, is to get some of that COGS cost back.
So are you considering a K1 ATP SKU because the difference is so significant between
E5 and E3? Cost for us is no different for whatever SKU it is. So we still have to cover that expense.
And I do want to say that, you know, I think some of the stuff that Jason covered around malware filtering really shows how we do our best to provide malware filtering that leverages things like ATP, right? The detonation when we see large volumes. So we are trying.
Right. So we do proactively sandbox things, regardless of whether you've got ATP or not. And so they would take the advantage of all that reputation. They would get the advantage, the reputation of everybody that does have ATP.
So essentially, the K1 licenses are getting some of the ATP because it is part of the org because they have E5.
They would get the advantage of O365. They get the advantage of the community.
Okay, so only the mailboxes with E5 that have ATP are getting that functionality and the K1.
Only mailboxes that have ATP and that have an ATP policy turned on, are we guaranteeing that we're going to detonate sandbox every single attachment on those emails?
Okay.
For the case, we're still going to leverage what we learned. So if we know that something's bad, if we've got reputation that says it's bad, we're going to block it for everybody.
Okay.
But yeah, we're only going to do that every single, whether it's suspicious or not, we're going to detonate it to make sure. That's only for ATP customers.
Okay.
Can the text for the safe link page be customized at all in the graphics, or is that what
not yet?
Is?
Not yet.
And same question for the safety tips.
No,
like
yet.
One of your examples said, like, click here for more info on phishing, but instead of that going to a Microsoft page, pointed to a corporate page.
Not yet.
Okay.
All right, so I work in the EDU space, and you know, I work in the end user support area, so it's my primary area. So basically, we get hit quite a bit with compromised internal accounts that send out. Usually, it's like a link that's like, oh, you click on here to your mail space is running out. Click here to expand it, and that sort of stuff. But typically, what we do, you know, the security team does, they block that account from sending mail, and then they have them change a password, and then have them scan a machine, and then once it's done, then they go back and re-enable it again. So my question is here. Well, first, is there like a best practice you think that would maybe better address that problem, and also, is there any way to block, you know, compromise internal accounts from sending out that stuff? How does that work?
So, you're saying once the account is taken and it starts sending a bunch of mail out, like it's taken as a bot and it starts sending spam out?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so we will actually catch that. We monitor outbound activity on those accounts. Mm-hmm. And there are features, we have outbound, particularly in spam features, that'll detect those kind of heuristic changes for outbound, and it'll automatically shut those accounts down for you.
Okay. And yeah, for full disclosure, I'm pretty sure we use Office 365 for spam notifications. I get, you know, quarantine bails, usually like daily, but we still use an on-prem Exchange server. I think we're at 2010 still, and we're still gonna upgrade to 2016.
So it's gonna depend on how you route. If you're routing outbound through us, then that'll still work. If not,
right. Yeah, and there's,
then, you know, yeah, if we don't see it, we don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, the people that do that are, you know, it's above my pay grade, but you know.
Thanks.
And just to what Jason's talking about, so if your outbound mail is routing through us, we do monitor to see if someone is sending spam. We'll automatically block the account, and then we let administrators go and unblock the account once you've determined that that compromise has been recovered, so that you can actually take that action yourself.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
Questions around Zap. Is that just automated, or like when you've determined something, the administrators determine some characteristics of something that we wanted to remove?
So what you're talking about is a slightly different feature. So for Zap, we do automatically, if we find something bad, we automatically go out and yank it out of all the mailboxes. But if you find something that you want to remove, there's another feature called Search and Destroy, where you can go and target specific mail, specific content, and you can pull those back out of the mailboxes.
Thank you.
So I have a few questions. So we're trying to evaluate whether or not you have a really good solution. So you said that you did a test to see what you caught that the third party didn't catch. Did you do the reverse to see?
So, I mean, that's been done. And there is, full disclosure, unique catch. Any system is going to have some unique catch. I was shocked by the amount of catch, the amount that came through. But, anytime you're going to evaluate ATP, what we absolutely recommend a couple of things. One, make sure that you've got real mail flow. So light up as many ATP seats as you can on your real tenant, get real mail flow and do it. I know a lot of vendors will come up and they'll give you synthetically created malware. That just doesn't work. It's not real.
So do you allow your customers to capture mails? We've got our own filters. You ever heard of something called Yara? So if I wanted to get a BCC of something coming in, can I do that?
If you want to get the question
so,
was...
So if, can I create a custom filter such that if a mail matches a particular sort of criteria, has particular size PDF attachment, for example, can I send a copy over to my guys to look at that?
So you can configure transport rules that look at certain features of messages and then take an action. And one of those actions is redirect a copy to another mailbox.
Okay. And so when you have that page that comes up and says you want to go, you give the customer the option, the user the option to go to the site or not. Can you configure that so that they can't go there?
Yeah, that you can. One of those checkboxes on that SafeLink policy was to not display that link.
Okay, and kind of my last question is, can I collect headers? I mean, you obviously are looking at mail headers and things like that. As a customer, can I get that data so I can look at my own statistics?
So I don't know if you've ever looked in the Outlook client. If you're on a particular email, you can.
I'm talking about all the mail that's coming in, the whole stream. Can I configure it to send, or can I get statistics on mail headers?
So I think you can get
user agents, right? What user agents are coming in?
The majority of the information inside of the header you could get from message trace details.
So there,
I don't know if it's 100% though.
Right. So you can look at mail logs and view a lot of the information about, metadata about messages. Uh-huh. It's not going to have 100% of the information that's available in the raw headers. But we do our best to make sure that the information there is, the majority of the stuff that we find the customers want to look at.
Okay. So my last thing is, so you collect a lot of data, and you said you use other sources besides just your own message streams coming into O365, right? And do you share your results with other vendors?
I don't believe so.
Do we share the results of what?
He was saying that we use external reputation sources. Do we share our reputation sources with anyone else?
Why not?
Why not?
It's a team effort to get rid of malware. So why wouldn't Microsoft want to share, because they have a very big instantiation of mail?
So just to speak generally, we participate as much as possible in a lot of the public forums around mail protection. I don't know for sure that actually something like what you're talking about has spun up, but we regularly attend conferences with other email service providers.
So if you detect a bunch of malware coming in to Office 365, nobody else in the world knows about that except for your customers?
Do we what?
If you detect a bunch of malware coming in, no one else in the world knows about that except for your customers?
So what I was saying was, I don't think that the community exists for that type of information sharing. Jason can correct me if I'm wrong. But
blacklist?
We'll take that offline.
Yeah. Could you just come up so these guys can continue,
absolutely.
And we'll talk
okay.
after?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank you.
The safety tips look like a nice ad, but we'd actually like to block anything that's coming in that is spoofing an internal person. So if the mail is external, spoofing someone internal, we don't even want to deliver it. Is that an option? I haven't been able to find that so far.
You can configure a transport rule that says if a message has these conditions, reject it. So if there are particular conditions that you want to trigger off of, you can do that.
It's already been accepted. We can't. I don't think we can do the comparison against the SMT part of the header against whether it's an internal person. So the expectation is that if it is a external sender spoofing an internal person, I don't want the notification, or I don't want the safety tip, I just want it blocked.
You can...
You can do it via transport rule.
That's what I was saying, but someone said that no, you can't. So yeah, you can do it by transport rule. Our anti-spoofing protection, so it has to be, you have conditions that you want to trigger off of and reject the message with those conditions. Our anti-spoofing protection, because we want to make sure that we don't have false positives, means that we send to junk
or quarantine according to your standards. What the filtering rules can do? Are there improvements coming, other options? Example, being able to compare two headers. It's something I don't think we can do today. Are there
by a transport rule?
Yeah.
Not that I know of, but I can follow up with you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hi. Can you explain again the red and blue ATP offering at the beginning? So what is included in, at the beginning you said something that is red is included in?
So safe attachments and safe links, those two features are part of the E5 SKU. Or you can purchase them as an ATP add-on SKU, but they don't come as part of the basic.
So there is an ATP EOP. And an ATP plus, let's say,
So EOP is that entire filtering pipeline that includes AV engines, the reputation, heuristic models, all that. But in order for us to sandbox every attachment or to do safe links wrapping, that requires some form of an ATP or E5 subscription.
All right. But the red items are already ATP, and the blue items are coming only with the...
Blue ones were ATP, the red ones were the normal EOP pipeline.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry. We're one of those customers that you mentioned that's using, a sort of intermediary device. And the reason being, as we've tried it both with and without, and as the gentleman before was saying, we've done it both ways to kind of see. And what we kind of determined was that every time we tried to go, without our current solution, which is just basically a couple Linux servers running mail scanner and that whole suite of products, we ran into too many issues. And one of the biggest being that the spear phishing type things where, our CEO appears to email our CFO and wants money wired, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We are defeating that with transport rules right now because we know that anything that comes in from the internet is going to hit that appliance first. And so we know that if it has that public IP, then it came from outside the organization and, it shouldn't have. And so we catch it. And we generate a notification to our team.
Yep.
What I'm curious is, because it's been a while since we've tried to go through EOP first, are these sort of new ways of attacking phishing and things like that, are those active now or is that something that's coming or has very recently been activated?
Anti-spoofing protection, we're constantly evolving our protection. We've been making a lot of progress over the past year.
Right, because a lot of the things were dependent on SPF or DKIM or something like that. And what we found was that if we tried to rely solely on that, we started getting a lot of false positives and things like that and losing messages that we didn't want to. The other thing, my second question kind of pertains back to another reason we haven't completely stopped using, what we have on-premise is some of the features that we really like is gray listing, where we're actually rejecting the first attempt. And, I think they say 95% of legitimate mail will retry after a certain period of time. And so you don't even process it. So that works really, really well. The other thing that it would be nice to see in a product like yours is the ability to utilize some of the real-time blacklists, the SORBs and all that stuff, just because it's just another layer, and it's such a dynamic thing that to have that flexibility and kind of add additional levels on top, a lot of the third-party type stuff offers that type of capabilities. That would be something as a customer I would like to see. you know, the ability to kind of tack on and, you know, add an additional layer of protection. Because that's not a question so much as it is a comment.
So much as a piece of, that's interesting feedback.
A bunch of that is we do leverage, like we were saying, a bunch of third-party lists already. I don't think we disclose exactly what that list is, but it's possible a lot of what you're looking for is already there.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
The ATP functionality, safe links, safe attachments, is that only available for Office 365 mailboxes, or is it can be used for on-premise mailboxes as well?
It can be used for on-premise. It can be used for hybrid configurations or hosted. Now, if you're on-prem, dynamic delivery is not going to be available to you, and Zap isn't going to work, just because we have to have hosted mailboxes in order to do that. But ATP, like safe attachments and safe links, will work great for an on-premise mailbox.
So for the safe links, you said if somebody clicks on the link, it actually goes through your safe links before. Is that because you kind of rewritten the link in the email when it was delivered?
That's exactly right.
All right. So you don't have to worry about anything with our proxy servers or
anything. Yeah, it'll work across any mailbox, any client.
Yeah. And the dynamic stuff, is that where you said it would deliver the email while still scanning the attachment and then drop attachment in?
That's correct.
And that's only available for?
Only available. We have to have the mailbox in order to do that, in order to do that reattachment.
Excellent. Thank you.
One of the problems we've had since moving to Exchange Online is having mail delivered to the junk mail folder that had a result of SPF fail. And this is really important considering our own SPF record. So other people spoofing our email addresses, sending as our domain that we're not authorizing, and it's getting delivered to the junk mail folder, and people are pulling those emails out and responding to them and thinking that they're authorized emails. Wondering what we can do, or will you consider rejecting before accept for those SPF fails?
The feature that I was demoing, which is anti-spoofing protection, is exactly the scenario you're talking about, which is someone pretending to be you and then sending an email. So we will send to junk or quarantine, depending on your spam filter policy for those messages. Uh-huh. And if we're sending to junk, we're going to put that safety tip right over the top that says, uh-huh, you know, we think this is phish, to address what you're talking about, which is that users will sometimes reply to it and think it's legitimate.
But users ignore those tips.
So safety tips is being ruled out, so they actually often won't see those tips at this point. I do want to say, so you can, as an earlier question was asking, you can write a transport rule.
So we've used transport rules to put banners at the top of emails to say, this email is asking for your password, don't respond to it, and people respond to it. Then we had to put a transport rule that says, if it has the banner, somebody's responding to it, block it.
So what I was going to say, you can write a transport rule that rejects, that keys off of certain conditions that you want to reject for, rather than adding the header if that's what you want to do. We are not going to reject if there's some ambiguity about whether or not that message might actually be a case of legitimate spoof.
But you do reject based on reputation. And SPF is a good judge of reputation.
We reject based off of IP reputation. So once we've accepted the message, we still have to manage it based off of the configurations that we can.
But SPF is us telling you what to do with mail that uses our domain.
If you want to take it offline, I can explain it over here.
Okay.
I have two questions. We don't have ATP. So if there is a malware, have I understood without ATP, you will yank the message if it went through all the mailboxes that we have without ATP?
So I think you're talking about Zap, and Zap will work for anybody, not just ATP customers. So if we, because of we decide to run it through our sandbox because it meets one of those heuristic clustering values, or if it gets into a sandbox because of another ATP tenant, we'll use that reputation and we'll block new mails that have the same attachment coming in, and then we'll also go look for any existing mail in a hosted mailbox across the entire service and pull them out if we can.
So Zap is a different service that it's a paid service that you have to subscribe.
It's just built into standard EOP pipeline.
Oh, okay, good. And the other question is, if there is a spoof email, you said something to the last person that you have to set up somewhere to have it go to the junk mail.
No. So no. If there's a spoof message that we've detected is a case of bad spoof, uh-huh. then we will send it to junk or quarantine based off of your configuration.
Okay.
So you don't have, you shouldn't have to do anything.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi, I have experience with another third-party product that does the ATP functionality and does the URL rewrite. But the URL is permanently rewritten and it's very confiscated. We understood that if we ever remove that product from our suite, those URLs are always rewritten, it will always continue to work, even if it's forwarded off campus somewhere. You are hiding the URL rewrite. You're still doing a URL rewrite with your product ATP?
Yeah, so there, I showed you two different versions. So normal ATP through Mailflow, we do a URL rewrite in the same way. Those links are always going to be good. It doesn't have to be the same person. It can be forwarded off campus. It can be 5 years from now. Whether you've got it or not, that link is always going to work in the mails. I showed you the kind of the Word PowerPoint Excel experience, and that's only going to work if you're an ATP customer and you've got Office 2016.
Okay, so I get this message, the URL's been rewritten, so it says it's www.microsoft.com, but mm-hmm. underneath it's been rewritten. I forward that off to my home email.
Yep.
They get it. Yep. It looks like www.microsoft.com to them as well?
Yeah.
And when they click on it, it's still going through your proxy servers, and
right.
and it will work in perpetuum.
Yes.
Okay, great, thanks.
Hi, I have a comment more than a question. So in the vein of spam and spoofing and all of that, our internal security people have doing lots of education with our users about not trusting email that's inbound. So one of the things that's happened to us is some of the things that Microsoft delivers to our users, things like information about clutter or NDRs, even though they're branded with the Microsoft logo, our users think that they may not be legit. So as you're thinking about these screens that you're showing, especially with safe links and stuff, mm-hmm. if we could have the ability to put our tenant branding on them, it would be really helpful.
It's great feedback. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Safety tips, is that something that's available currently? And is that for the full Outlook client or just OWA?
Safety tips is rolling out.
Okay. And how do you guys invoke or trigger that that tip to pop up? Is that something that's stamped on the header that Outlook knows to?
So we have both inline safety tips. So even if the client isn't one of our clients, you'll still get that notification. And then we have a richer experience for clients that are Microsoft clients.
Do I, as an administrator, have any way to invoke that? Like, I'm sorry?
Not at this moment, no.
Okay.
So,
okay. Thanks.
I have a question that I didn't hear you guys bring up at all during any of the spoofing stuff. In one of the other sessions this week, they brought up that in February, you guys are going to be turning on ARC as part of some of the spoofing stuff, which could potentially break if I have an on-prem environment and we have somebody in 365 and we have forwarders or anything set up like that's going to break all of that. Is that pretty accurate? Is that what's going on?
So the question is around DMARC?
ARC.
I'm going to have to take that offline. I'm not terribly familiar with ARC.
It's along the same lines of DMARC, but it's okay. Brand new. And they said in February, you guys are turning it on.
So as I said, I'll take that offline with you if
okay.
you can come up over here.
Yeah. I had a quick question. I'm still using Exchange on-prem, so I'm not familiar with EOP and ATP. But the third-party solution that I am familiar with, and another one that was introduced to me, they're offering these plugins for Outlook so that our end users can actually take an action on the off chance that our solutions don't work and a message comes in that's malicious. Are you providing anything like that? And if so, is it capable of reporting back to us? Or can it be configured to report back to us so that we can take an action?
Yes, there is a feature that we have called the junk mail reporting tool, which will let your users report false negatives or false positives to both us, and you can configure it using a transport rule to send a copy of the message to a mailbox of your choosing.
And that's available now?
Yes.
Okay. And my second question was, is there a reporting functionality that tells us how many times an end user clicked on a malicious link or anything like that?
Yes, so we've got things that show general trends, but then we also have a feature called URL trace, specifically for if they're using safe links.
Okay.
And whenever they click on the link, it'll record who it was who clicked on the link, whether or not it was blocked, and then whether or not they chose to click through if you've enabled that option.
Okay, thank you.
We're actually over time, so if there are any more questions, come meet us over here.